Let's go into God's word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We do ask and receive this morning that as we go into the word, there is all thanksgiving. The truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. Oh, glory to God. We've been looking at a very interesting series. And we're looking at the series Believer's Conduct. We're looking at Believer's Conduct. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. You know, Paul speaks to the Galatians and he says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. We've established over and over again that this word there, and, is the word that is what? Kai. That's the word that means which is. So it's a word that is not always used to talk about two different things. Yeah? So it's not a word used. So when you say keyboard and chair, the word there, and, is talking about two different things. But this and is the Greek word kai, which means a lot of times that is, even so, or I mean. So when I say keyboard and the chair, it's different from keyboard and the piano. Actually, so we could literally say keyboard that is the piano, even though musically that might not be. Yeah, but so this is the word. So the same word you say, if for a man to see the kingdom of God, he must be born of water and the spirit. And we've established over and over that there is no instruction to dip people into water. We've done hours upon hours upon hours of that to explain that. You can meet Brataiwa after the teaching, you know, to collect those series. So when it says being born of water and the spirit, it is being born of water, that is the spirit. Paul speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the spirit. He's saying one and the same thing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is, are we together? The love of God, that is the fellowship of the spirit. So that word there is, grace be to you and peace from God, yes, the Father. And so it's not saying God the Father is different from our Lord Jesus Christ. No, 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 no. God the Father, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, quickly. Isaiah 9, verse 6. It says, for unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given. So who is this talking about? Christ Jesus. Is that true? Yeah. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Who is that? Christ Jesus, the child and the son. Is that true? And his name, the name of who? The child and the son. What is his name? Shall be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, the... So Jesus is the mighty God. Are we together? Yeah? The everlasting Father. So Jesus is that mighty God who is the everlasting Father. Did you get that? Did you get that? Let me say it again. Jesus Christ is the mighty God who is the everlasting Father. Look at the book of John. John chapter 14. Verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Look at verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. Look at verse 8. Philip, right, said unto, who is this? Jesus. So this Jesus that Philip said unto, is that the everlasting Father? Is that the mighty God? So Philip said unto Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. This simply means, and that will be okay for us. Look at verse 8, verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? Who did Philip say Jesus should show them? The Father. What did Jesus say? You have not known me? Right? He says, you have not known me, Philip. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how seest thou then show us the Father? So seeing Jesus is seeing the Father. Altogether, so Jesus Christ, your Savior, my Savior, is the mighty God who is the everlasting Father. Yeah, what scripture were we? Galatians 1, verse 3. Go back there. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. He says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father, that is... Did you get that? Yeah, I took us through those scriptures to just show us that what? The Father is Jesus Christ. So grace be to you and peace from God the Father, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. So this our Lord Jesus Christ is the everlasting Father. And this our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the everlasting Father, is the mighty God. Now look at verse 4. Who gave himself? So God is Jesus Christ giving himself to the world. So Jesus gave himself for what? For what? You know, we said over and over, not a single scripture teaches that Jesus gave himself for our prosperity. You see, Jesus didn't die for your prosperity. Jesus didn't die for my prosperity. Jesus didn't die for my job. Jesus didn't die for your job. Jesus didn't die for my exams. He didn't die for your exams. Are we together? Yeah, what Jesus died for is that singular thing, our sins. If you look at Matthew's Gospel 26, he says, Jesus took bread and took wine, and he said, this is my blood shed for the remission of sins, not remission of prosperity. Altogether, the work that Jesus did on earth is a singular work, and it is who gave himself for our sins. Yeah, we just finished a series in church, like most of us will know, which is a series on generosity. And we've established that you can be a Christian and die in poverty. In fact, we established that most Christians end up dying in poverty. You know, and some very insincere people will tell us that they don't know how to operate in a realm. But for what Christ did, so let me say it this way. What Christ did and you have received is only limited to you who believes the gospel. So if there is any other thing on earth which another man can have without believing in your gospel, it is not part of why Christ came. Now together. So if you wake up tomorrow and get a job of 1 million naira per day, yeah, if there is another man on earth who can have that without being a Christian, it means that that is not part of what Christ sorted. Is that clear? Yeah, he gave himself for our sins that we might be deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Look at verse 6. I marvel. Yeah, that word there, I marvel, was the word we replaced it with last week. I'm shocked, right? Yeah, but the Nigerian version is what? It what? Yeah, so the Nigerian version of that is I marvel, really. Say it again. Okay. So Paul is saying, it shocked me that you are, makes sense, right? That's GPT, God's Palace Translation. Yeah, you won't find it anywhere. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So Paul is being shocked that what? You have soon left a message into another message. He now says in verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, yeah, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Look at what he says in verse 8. He now says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The word there, accursed, is a word that means to be separated, to put aside, not to go close to, not to touch. Yeah, he didn't say start cursing them. Are we here? Are we here? Yeah, so let them be accursed means that, oh, don't touch. So if I want to put this and make this to be accursed, it means that I'm going to put it in a position where I will say nobody should go close to and touch. Don't move close to. So this is what Paul says we should do to those who are preaching another gospel. Yeah, so what is another gospel we established last week? Any gospel that troubles your heart. Is that true? Is that true? Yeah, Paul says that what? I marvel that ye are so soon removed into another gospel. So it means that no matter what you preach as saints, the saint must live with a deepened conviction about his eternal state, his eternal place in Christ Jesus. This is what I mean. We're teaching believers conduct. It means that after teaching this series, in as much as you will receive correction, yeah, your convictions about your eternal state must be deepened. What does that mean? It means that you must live this series with a deepened conviction about how your sins are forgiven forever. Hallelujah. Are we together? So the sins that Christ has died for is something he has done forever. Yeah, he ever even made intercession for us. Yeah, he's making intercession for us. What is the intercession? In the fact that he is alive forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. So God lives in you. Is that true? So it means that you can see a Christian who has a bad conduct, but that doesn't negate that God lives in him. You know, when we're growing up, they used to tell us that when you want to do evil, Spirit of God will wait for you at the door. Is that true? When you now finish your evil, Spirit of God will now be looking at you. You're like, come here. Then one pastor will now tell you something. You need to go and fast for 40 days for mercy, for the Spirit of God to come back into you. No, that is Nollywood mixed with Hollywood. No, Bollywood. They're the ones that have very dramatic storylines. Yeah? So it means that a man that believes the gospel, upon believing the gospel, Spirit of God can never leave you. Lift your hand and say, God lives in me. Think about it this way. What made you receive the Spirit of God was not you stopping certain things. It was by believing the gospel. So you cannot, the Spirit of God cannot leave you because you do certain things. Are we together? The Spirit of God cannot leave you because you do certain things. So it means that there are people who are the Spirit of God, and yet they are preaching false teaching, and they are deliberately teaching false teaching, but they have the Spirit of God. Are we together? So the Spirit of God lives in you forever. So it means that once I preach a message that troubles your heart about the indwelling of the Spirit, it means we need to check that message again. Glory to God. What did Paul say? Paul says, if we or an angel. So what Paul is saying, if any other minister, including Joshua Yusuf, should preach another gospel unto you than that which you have received. The gospel they received is similar to 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I deliver unto you the gospel which I first received. How that Christ died for sins according to the scriptures. And he rose again on the third day. So really, the moment I tell you that Christ died for sins, prosperity, and preach another gospel. Are we together? The moment I tell you that Christ died for your sins, some people teach this way. They say when you sin, you break fellowship with God. How do you say it? Yes, you break fellowship with God, but you don't break relationship. Really? The fellowship we have with God, it was God that initiated it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Spirit, the supply of the Spirit. It wasn't us that, do you understand? We didn't do anything. We just believed and received. Yeah? So when you say you break fellowship with God, in the real sense, maybe what you're trying to say is that there's tendencies for you to be guilty when you want to pray and things like that. But if it is that fellowship is there, no. Fellowship is perpetually always. So why do you sing all the overwhelming? Why is he overwhelming? If you can do something that will make him leave you, then it's overwhelming. Are we together? You know, in the Yoruba tradition, the Yoruba tribe, there's a word they say, agbanilagbato. Is that a word like that? Yeah, I'll interpret it. Agbanilagbato is a word that means he delivers to the uttermost. Are we together? Yeah, so does God deliver to the uttermost? So you see someone sing, agbanilagbato, keyboard beginning, bang, 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 bang. The next thing you are praying is, Lord, please, if there is any way. But you just sang, he delivers. So it means that perpetually, continually, we are in the present continuous tense of deliverance. Are we together? He saves to the uttermost. We are too small to remove ourselves from God. So Paul says, if anyone preach any other gospel, yeah, which was what we touched on Wednesday, which was what he was correcting in Galatians. Yeah, are you so foolish? Haven't begun in the spirit, you want to make perfect by the flesh? Glory to God. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. Or chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians 3, 26, quickly. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, this was a church that Paul was coding for them trying to put their works to make themselves saved. Or to add works, legalism. But he reminds them again, for ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So we established on Sunday last week that the way to correct a believer who has a negative conduct to the world is by reminding him of his identity. Are we together? You see, when you do something, for instance, you say, if I steal something from here, yeah, God is not the one to remind me I'm a thief. Everyone, finish writing what you're writing. Let me show you something quickly. Now, this is gold, right? Look at me. This is gold. Let's use this one that everybody can see. This is gold. Let's assume it's gold. Before you say, Pastor, heat gold there. Let's assume this is gold. So, is an example, right? So, nobody should come and buckle this place over the week. So, let's assume that this is gold. If I steal this gold right now, is the Spirit of God in me? Did the Spirit of God come into me because I did not steal? No. The Spirit of God came into me because I believed the work of the resurrection. But if I steal this goat, this... Oh, this gold. What the Spirit of God will not do to me is not to tell me, Joshua, you're a liar. Because the moment the Spirit of God tells me you are a liar, the Spirit of God is speaking anti what he has done in my life. Are we together? Are we together? Let me say it this way. The Spirit of God will not point your attention to that which you are doing, but he will point your attention to that which he has done. So rather than tell you, Joshua, you are a thief, what he will tell you is that Joshua, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Did you get that? So I am to realign my conduct based on that assurance that he gives me. So you see that word, that scripture in John 16, where it says the Holy Spirit shall convict you. That's a wrong translation. No, the Spirit of God doesn't convict. That's condemnation. The Spirit of God can only convince, can only persuade, but not to convict. You want me to convict somebody? It's just simply what I just explained. You are a thief. So the Spirit of God in you is to bring to your remembrance that which you are in Christ Jesus. Because a man who steals as a Christian is a Christian who steals. Did I say you're going to steal? Let me say it again. A man who is caught in the act of stealing that has the indwelling of the Spirit is not a thief in Christ. He is one who is in Christ that is not living according to the ability that he doesn't have the nature of stealing. So he's living an anti-reality to his reality. So, the Spirit of God, the message of Christ, is a message that brings persuasions to your heart and to remind you of that which he has done. So, Paul says, if we preach any other gospel, let me be accursed. He now reminds them, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 5, verse 1, quickly. He now says, stand firm. Yes, so that word there, stand first, is the word stand firm. So stand firm, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free. If we align on Wednesday, you saw, remember we talked to that scripture when he says, now where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. For we have been transformed from glory to glory. Do you remember that teaching? Look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. So Paul says, stand first or firm, fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free. So we have a freedom we have received upon resurrection. But there's something we have to do with that freedom. Look at 2 Corinthians 3. Look at verse 17. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Yeah, this scripture is not saying, when you come to church, the Spirit of God now comes to church and now creates liberty. Yeah, in the real sense, we come to church with the Spirit of God. All together. So there's nobody that lives here and leaves the Spirit of God here. Are we here? So we are the ones that came in with the Spirit today. So if every saint lives here, the Spirit of God is absent here. Are we here? So this scripture is not saying that when you come together, the Spirit of God, no, there's liberty. We explained that on Wednesday. So it now says in verse 18, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. We established on Wednesday that this thing is not saying you entered as a job, as a clerk, a data clerk, and they promoted you to data analyst, analyst. That promoted you to data manager. They promoted you to project manager. And that's saying it's from glory to glory. No. This glory to glory is the glory of that which is of the ministration of death. Yeah, into the glory which is that of the ministration of the New Testament. We explained that on Wednesday. So by this, as by the Spirit of the Lord, so by the Spirit of God, we have a liberty. By the Spirit of God, we have a freedom. Paul now tells them in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, stand first in that liberty. Stand firm in that liberty. Stand firm in that liberty. Stand fast in that liberty. Glory to God. So, as saints, we are to first have a place in our heart where it is settled that we are born of God forever. And that will influence. So, there's an instruction for us to keep standing or to stand firm. Remember, that instruction, is it to God or to man? To man. So, let me ask again. Is it for God or for man? So, why do you live a life of good conduct? Not to make God say you will come to heaven. You see, let me say this. As saints, your life on earth, your purpose on earth is not to make heaven. Are we together? Your purpose on earth is not to make heaven. I just want to just be earning 20,000 naira and just let me just make heaven. You can earn 300,000 naira and 500 million naira every month. Let me say what I want to say. You might not like me. What was I saying? Yeah, so the purpose of the sin is not to make heaven. When the saints were marching in on the last day, only, it's true, right? True believers, only true believers. Yeah, I got it. Yeah? So, your goal is not to make heaven. Your goal is not to be among the number. When the saints go marching in, Lord wants to be in that number. No, Lord, I am in their number. Why are you in the number? Because the Spirit of God lives in you forever. What qualifies you to be in that number is the Spirit of God in you forever. Not your works. So, saints is one who has been delivered from wrath to come and is now in the heavenly Jerusalem. The city of the living God. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Glory to God. So, Paul says, stand first. So, you're living right or you're living a good conduct is not so that God will be impressed. In the real sense, even if you say it's for God to be impressed, it is for man's sake. Yeah? So, your dressing cannot take you to hell. So, you see, it's very interesting when you see some people preaching and they're going towards a camp where people are dressing anyhow. They say, repent. Repent so that you can go to heaven. In the real sense, except preaching that repent is to change of heart. But if your repent is to change your clothes, they are preaching another thing. Are we here this morning? Are we here this morning? What am I saying in essence? Your conduct doesn't determine your state in Christ. Any other message that changes that is another gospel. See what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. This scripture now. When you say now, the Spirit speaketh expressly, what does that mean? Utterance. Did you get that? That's utterance. Yeah, so who was given an utterance here? Who was given an utterance here? Who was given an utterance here? Is it Paul? It's Paul now. You prepare for the channel. Look at them. You know it's between A or B. You went to A. You saw my face. You went to B. Paul was speaking as an utterance. He says, the Spirit of... So when you see the Spirit of... Now the Spirit speaking expressly. It is a way of expressing an utterance that the Spirit gives through a man. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. So we explain that in the narrative of John's baptism of Jesus. When he says... when he saw Jesus and he said, no, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, when John was saying a dove descended upon the head of Jesus, there was no dove. Yeah, Jesus did not have a nest on his head. Yeah, so the figurative expression says, like as like. So there was no dove in the narrative. Yeah, but when he says the Spirit of God spoke from heaven, there was no voice in the sky. Yeah, it was from the utterances of Jesus that John knew what God had to say at the time. Because scripture tells us that Jesus was talking. So when you see that, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times shall some depart from the faith, giving it to seditious spirit. You know, people teach this thing as dressing half naked. So people say that, don't look at women. For scriptures that says in the last day, hallelujah, you will give heed to women. And as you give heed, giving heed to seducing spirits. A word only makes sense in the context in which it is used. Paul cannot wake up from the blue. I'm talking about people that are dressing half naked. Let me tell you something. Dressing half naked started in our recent day. Do you think in Paul's day, people were going to beach like this? No, let me ask you. You're laughing. Wait, so you actually think in Jesus' day, people were going to the beach the way we are going to the beach today? Oh, glory to God. You know, it's one of the Jewish cultures that they are to be dressed properly. You know. So when Paul is saying seducing spirit, he's not saying, Timothy, you know you're a young minister. Some ladies will come to church and open their leg in front. That's seducing. Close your eyes. If you need to start teaching from the back, go to the back and just be saying, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yeah. For you will give heed to seducing spirit. No, a word qualifies, the context qualifies the word that is used. So remember, we explained at the beginning of this service the word and. Is that true? What is the word and? Not always talking about two different things, but explaining what was said before. So what is seducing spirit? Doctrines of devils. Did you get that? Did you get that? So, giving heed to seducing spirits, that is doctrines of devils. So, a good way to read this would be what? Giving heed to the doctrines of devils. Are you together? You know, so, when you see seducing, so, you know some people say that if God wanted you to wear earring, you would have pierced your ear from birth. You know, and a simple question you just ask them, if God wanted you to wear clothes, you would have come out with gown. And the woman I just give birth to, you are coming with robe. Doctor would just be shouting, ah, the robe has come out, oh, but the baby is still inside. Do you understand? Imagine you are giving birth. Imagine Sister Pleasant wants to give birth now. She's coming and the baby has shoe. Is shoe and clothes man-made? Beautiful. No, if I say this thing now, some of you might think I'm not a Christian. Does God create babies before he throws them into people's womb? No, you know that's before I formed you, I knew you. That's not a scripture you run to. Before I formed you, I knew you. So you actually think that God actually creates space. So there's one room of babies. So God will now see two people. You now throw it inside. That's your own. The question now becomes, even those who are not married give birth to children. So on what? Let me help you think a little. So are babies from God or from heaven? Brian, you say they are from fellowship. I know what you speak of. Glory to the Lamb. Children are from fellowship. Let me not shift from where I'm thinking. So you say if God wanted you to pierce, you would have put one hole. Imagine there was Angel Gabriel going out with Tippet, not Tippet. Remember that today used to use and clip people's stapler. No, I can say stapler. No, the one that's perforate. No, perforator is too non-human. What's the word now? Shotgun. Is that what it's called? Yeah, so imagine, let's just give it a name. That thing they used to use and pierce the air. So imagine an angel is piercing the spirit. Think about it. A baby is first a sperm before it grows. How did God? No. The only miraculous birth without a man is that of Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's the only one. That's the only one you will see. Are we together? Yeah, so when you say if God wanted you to wear, if God wanted you to wear trouser, why didn't he? There's a way to say that one. If God wanted you to wear trouser, why did he make you a man? Simple question. If God wanted you to wear clothes, why did you come out the way you came out? Do you understand? If God wanted you to have long hair, when you do attachment, you're adding to the glory of God. Amen? You're adding to the glory. Don't add to his glory. I'm beautifully made. I'm wonderfully made. I belong to God. See. You know, when we're growing up, I just always tell you that. If someone tells you you're ugly, just tell them that, oh, I'm made in the image of God. Some people you look at, you see, this is how God looks like. I'm just asking a question. See, if you want to know who you look like, look at your father and your mother. You're not far-fetched. An apple doesn't fall far away from the tree. So, when you see a scripture where it says that God made it to be so, that scripture in John chapter 12, where it says that when they were asking Jesus, was it this man that sinned that was born blind, or his parents? Yeah, they were teaching generational course. Yeah? What did Jesus just say? This is for the work of God to make manifest. It wasn't saying that he was born blind by God, so God will not come and show power. Imagine you want to show me you know how to sweep. You go and carry 5 bags of rice and spread around this room. You carry broom. You are sweeping. And I walk in the church. Ah, what are you doing, my dear sister? Tofu me. Pastor, I want to show you I can sweep. So think about it. God will not make you blind because what? He wants to show you. So where does blindness from birth come from? It's the manipulation of the devil. Yeah? Why do you look the way you look? Because your father and mother combined in fellowship to bring you forth. Are we together? So a man, there's a lot I want to teach about that, but The question now becomes that when he's teaching about seducing spirit, it is that is the doctrines of devil. Look at verse 2, he explains it. Speaking. How is doctrines of devil communicated? Speaking lies in hypocrisy. So when you see someone speaking lies in hypocrisy, what do you call it? Seducing spirit is at work. Did you get that? When you see someone speaking lie, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, that's figure of speech, verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving. Yeah? So how do you know seducing spirit? A message that what differs from that which is the gospel. What did Paul call it in Galatians 1? Another gospel. Are we here this morning? Yeah? So look at Colossians 2 verse 8. So we must not be given to what? Hypocrisy. We must not be given to people who are speaking lies in hypocrisy. Colossians 2, 8. Do you have the NLT translation? Who has an NLT Bible here? NLT? NLT? Please open it. Let me see. NLT quickly. NLT. Colossians 2, 8. That's NLT now. Do you know where Colossians is? That's when he was taking time to open it now. You're even close to Genesis. I'm just joking. She was almost there. Colossians 2 verse 8. It says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies to acquire, to perspire, respire, and require. You need an attire. Glory to God. That you might acquire and end up in a fire. It's not far-fetched. Do not let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. Is it on the screen? No. I like NLT for that verse. It says high-sounding nonsense. You know what it means? When nonsense is being spoken with a loud volume. High-sounding nonsense. It looks like it makes sense. To defeat the devil, you don't have to be on your seat, but on your feet. High-sounding nonsense. You know, there's a seventh heaven. Okay? High-sounding nonsense. Let me tell you what happened before Genesis. High-sounding nonsense. It says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. He now says, after the tradition of men, after the rudiment of this world, and not after the doctrine of Christ. Are we together? So, let me ask you, what did Paul call it in Colossians? Let's use NLT. What did Paul call it in Colossians? HSN. So, you've seen me do a post, for instance, and I just put in bracket HSN. I'm sure God's palace members will code. Okay. Paul calls it high-sounding nonsense in Colossians. What did he call it to Timothy? Seducing spirit. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. What did he call it in Galatians? Another gospel. So, the gospel of Christ is the gospel that when you receive or when you listen to, it deepens your conviction. So, the most dangerous form is you hear about Jesus in the mix. You see, nobody that wants to... Let me tell you a question. Let me tell you something. You know that a lot of times, when you want to teach false doctrine, you know you have to add Jesus in it. Do you understand? Nobody will... Now, if you want to poison someone, you have to put poison in the mix of something. In the midst of something. You have to mix it with something. Except you are very wicked. You just pour big on inside a cup and just give someone to drink it. Or, you know, otapiapia. Poison is always served in the midst of food. So for those of you that like beans, for instance, yeah, you pour it together with the red oil. And you are eating it. You don't know you are eating yourself unto damnation. Yeah? The same thing with doctrine. Yeah? A lot of people, even though they are teaching false doctrine, they always mention Jesus in the middle. Because Jesus is the catchphrase that gets people's attention. Are we together? You know, I can come to church and say, I believe in Christ Jesus. I believe that he died and rose. And what I'll be teaching will be negative of that. I can come to church and teach that, oh, your sins are forgiven because you resurrected. And what I'll be teaching afterwards is different from that. But I've captured you with your sins are forgiven. Are we together? I've captured you with God lives in you. But what I'll be teaching next, you know, you see, there's a difference between false teaching and a false preacher. Are we together? Yeah, false preacher is what we see in scriptures as antichrist. Like we taught already. Yeah, antichrist is not talking about some people that will come with fork and be looking for who to devour. Even after the trumpet sound and some people disappear. No. Antichrist is on earth right now. In fact, there are a lot of people in some churches today right now on the altar, they are antichrist. What is Antichrist? Teaching a message that is another gospel. What is Antichrist? Teaching a message that negates the message of Christ. What is Antichrist? A seducing spirit. What is Antichrist? HSN. Are we together? So poison is always, so we have to be deliberate about what we hear. You see, I'm teaching about believers' conduct, but I'm paying attention to some deliberate things about our faith. Because the moment I make you scared about your eternal state in Christ Jesus, then what, I'm teaching another gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, you, for instance, when you woke up, how many of you woke up this morning and you went to tour your body before you had your bath? Who did that this morning? You just woke up this morning. I think I just woke up. You just started playing Victoria Renze on your phone. You love me too much. And first thing, just because you're towing your body. You just woke up. When you now finish, when you now actually, I'm ready for church. No, I just told my body, I'm about to go and bath. It doesn't work that way. So you have to bath before you tower. In the real sense, we come to Jesus who is the bath. Yeah? Are we together? Then, so let me give an example. So, for instance, coming to Jesus, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of... So, coming to Jesus, you've received forgiveness of sins, your sins being cleansed. Yeah? What is toweling your body? Standing firm. Did you get that? Did you get that? Standing fast. What did Paul call it in Galatians 5 verse 1? Standing firm and fast, that is fast, in the liberty which you have received. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Timothy 1:15. You see, Christ our Savior is not an inspector. He's our Savior. He's our Savior. 1 Timothy 1:15. He says what? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners. So, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What did Paul say? Of whom I am what? Chief. Act sinner. Hallelujah. Yeah, think about what he says. Oh, he says, of whom I am chief. So when you're reading that verse, you say, of whom Paul is chief. Of whom Paul said he is chief. Are you chief? So Paul was just trying to explain something. You know, we did a teaching on Philippians 3 verse 10. That I may know him. And the power of resurrection. Yeah, and we explained how that is not a prayer. Do you remember that teaching? Yeah, we explain how that I may know him. So Paul is saying, Paul, that I may know him. Lord, this morning I pray that I may know. No, that context wasn't what he was teaching about. Yeah, Paul was actually talking about how he was very stern on the law and what he dropped all of those things he could boast of to embrace that which is the message of the gospel. Yeah, so similar to what he's saying here, he's saying that, oh, of whom I am a chief, I am chief, but Jesus came to save sinners. So, did Jesus come to save the poor? Did Jesus come to save the... Did I say, did Jesus came to save the poor? Wow. It's now it dawned on me, because the way on your eyes just went like... So, did Jesus come to save the poor? Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that we were poor in sin. Now we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, for ye know the grace of God, how that he was rich, yet he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. We have the righteousness in us. We have the spirit in us. We are full of God. Yeah? In the real sense, you were poor. What does it mean you were poor to God? You were in sin. Now you are rich. What does that mean? You have the riches of his grace, the riches of his spirit. So Christ came to save sinners. Yeah? So Christ did not come to sort out the prosperity of sinners. Did you get that? Christ came to give sinners a new life. Are we together? Yeah? Christ did not come to modify your life. Yeah? A life without Christ will be full of crisis. No, a lot of times when you are in Christ, you have more crisis. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah? So, Christ did not deliver us from the things that mankind put in place. What Christ delivered us from is solely that thing that no man can receive except believing the gospel. That's what? Sins. So Christ came to save sinners. Hallelujah. So how does... Look at 2 Timothy. That same Timothy. Chapter 3. Verse 15. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God. They are profitable. What's the word profitable there? Advantageous for doctrine. What's doctrine there? Teaching. For reproof, what is reproof? Assurance. So the word of God is given to us for assurance. So it means that we should teach God's word and live with an assurance, even though we'll be corrected. It says for correction. Are we together? Are we together? So God changes people by his good news. So when God's good news is preached, he has offered eternal forgiveness. Yeah, don't put a semicolon. Don't put a however. No, you are saved and saved by faith alone. We saw that on Wednesday about what faith without works is dead. Remember that teaching? Yeah, faith without works is dead. He's not saying that if you have faith in God, that you will pass your exam and you don't read. Yeah? No. That wasn't what James was teaching at all. He wasn't saying if you believe God for a house, yeah, and you don't go and pay initial deposits. No. Faith without works simply means that what? You cannot have received of the faithfulness of God in Christ Jesus and give a lifestyle that is similar to what you've received. A generous lifestyle. A good conduct among the saints, among the people. So, the word there, dead, is the word inoperative. Remember that? Remember that? So, faith without death, without works, is inoperative. So, it means that a man is justified to other men by what? His conduct. By his works. But a man is justified in front of God by the work of Christ. Did you get that? We receive justification by faith and faith alone to God. But justification to men is by what? Our conduct. Even in this life, even if you live a very good conduct, good life, full of good conduct. Some people just hate people. Just look at someone and say, I just dislike you. Some people hate people because they are too good. Do you understand? This is the only one. This one they'll call him. This one they'll call her. This one they'll call him. Yeah? So the truth is that even if you have excellent conduct, but you are to do that as an end in itself. In the real sense, you are influencing decisions or the hearts of people. That's why we are never taught in scriptures to respond to evil with evil. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 5. Hebrews 12, verse 5. So, in the assurance we receive, there is correction. There is something called rectification of knowledge in thought system, in conduct. It says for instruction in righteousness, for training in righteousness. See what Hebrews says in verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. So let me ask you, does the Lord chasten people? Hello? Does the Lord chasten people? How does he do it? With his words, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Look at verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, where was Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, teaching from? Old Testament books. Look at Proverbs quickly. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Is that the same thing we just read? Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Look at verse 12. I think verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrected, even as a father the son in whom he what? Delighted. Yeah, King James. Yeah, so the one who God loves, he corrects. How does God correct you? Through his words. So how does God chasten you? Through his word. So it's wrong teaching to say that God chastens you by allowing accident to happen to you. Are we together? You know, people will say things like, oh, I've been having accident every week. God is trying to make me... Look at it. See, there's some things you say, If you're not careful, you will not understand what you're saying. If you're saying God is making you have accident every week, so it means that it takes you to enter a car to have an accident. So it means you can dodge God. Do you understand that? Music and time God and dodging. God is always allowing the accident to happen on Wednesday. What do? You stay at home on Wednesday. Are we together? Yeah. So does God love you? Yes. Will God correct you? Yes, he would. You know, but in the real sense, it is what? A correction that comes with an assurance of your faith. Assurance of what he has done in Christ Jesus. So go back to Hebrews 12, verse 5. and ye have forgotten the exhortation. You see, the word there, exhortation, is the word that means to bring to remembrance. Yeah, the word there, exhortation. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you. Yeah, so that word there, exhortation, is a word that means to bring to remembrance. So how does God speak to us as unto children? By bringing to remembrance that which he has done. Have I explained that in this service today? Remember that teaching? Yeah, remember, I just said it today. If you see a man stealing, how will God correct him? By bringing to his forefront or bringing to his remembrance that which he is. Did you get that? Did you get that? So, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. So how does God rebuke? He rebukes with his love, in his love, by his love, through his love. Are we together? So he rebukes you by bringing to your remembrance the everlasting love you have received. So we are not one who are on earth. We are not people who are on earth that are trying to walk a righteous life. So on the last day, God will call you a saint. No, a man born of the Spirit is a saint. Might you believe the gospel? You are a saint forever. So it's not when people die, you say, saint. No, you are a saint right now. Say, I'm a saint. Oh, I believe the work of Jesus. I'm a saint. So you are one who is not. So you are not one walking on earth. So at the end of the day, God will now come and give you. And they gave him a change his robe. Give him white. Let's assume God give people white. You receive white the day you believe the gospel. Come together. So what are you to do? You are to maintain what? Standing firm. Standing fast. What does that mean? Think about it this way. If you are going out on the streets, for instance, and something falls under the car. If you are wearing white and you are wearing black on another day, the rate at which you will bend down when you are wearing black to pick it is not the rate at which you will bend down when you are wearing white. If you are wearing white, what do you say? You say, Brasso, come in, please help me. Or you even tell him, I cannot see it, just so that he will just help you. Why? You are conscious of what you are putting on. That means you have brought to your remembrance that which God says about you. You are holy. Are we together? But if we're wearing black, what will happen? You lie down the floor and just roll under, like mechanic. You know, pick it and roll up, James Bond. What is the difference? One brought to his remembrance that which God has done. So you are one who is wearing white, who is holy, blameless, acceptable in the beloved, accepted in the beloved, has the fullness of the Spirit, and you are one who by that will bring to your remembrance that which God says about you. So that influences your conduct, that influences your lifestyle, that influences your love walk. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. If we read that verse out of context, you would think that Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, is saying that, let's read together, 1, 2, 3, go. If you read this verse in isolation, you would think that what he's saying is that if you don't have peace with men or you are not holy with men, you will not see God on the last day. Are we together? Follow peace with all men and holiness. No, he has been teaching about conduct. Remember he told us in verse 5 of Hebrews 12 that what? Do not what? Neglect the exhortation of the Lord. Do not despise the correction and the rebuke of the Lord. So when he says follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see. Look at verse 13. Look at what he says in verse 13 for a time. And make straight path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Is this conduct? Look at it very well, please. Is this conduct? Look at it again. Is it conduct? And make straight path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let him rather be healed. Is that conduct? No, that, what he's really saying is that let them look at you and have a change of heart by looking at you. Is that true? Did you get that? Let the lame look at you, and instead of him to deepen him or deepen his conversation about how he's lame, something should happen. So look at what he now says. He now explains in verse 14, follow peace with all men so that the lame will see you and be healed. Did you get that? What is the lame seeing you and be healed? Your conduct. Are we together? So follow peace and with all men and holiness, without which there no man shall see the Lord in you. So men are to see the Lord in you based on your conduct. Did you get that? Men are to see the Lord in you based on your conduct. So your conduct should be that which people will see and say, ah, of a truth, he's living a life of a Christian. If one chooses not to live a life of a Christian, does that make him less of a Christian? Oh! Why? Because what makes you a Christian is a being a believer, really believing in the work of the resurrection. Hallelujah. So now with all of this we've established, let's go into God's word this morning. Now we're looking at, you're laughing. Now we're looking at what to do and what not to do. You know, so the questions people always, a lot of people have questions about, Pastor, can I do this? The easiest one I always get from people is about alcohol. Pastor, is it wrong to drink alcohol?
You want to put me in trouble?
Yeah. You see, the funny thing and interesting thing about it is that the New Testament doesn't teach do's and don'ts. Are we together? Yeah. So people are faced with questions like, what do I do? What should I not do? Some people also have questions like, Pastor, my boss is always molesting me. My boss is always slapping me. I will do something. Anytime he's correcting me, I have to stand far off because he can just give me one. Pastor, you are saying I should respond in love. What are you saying, sir? Do you know, sir, the slap there is not figure of speech, sir. So he slaps me. So what should I do? What should I do? And you're like, do the word. Hallelujah. Do the word. See, there is never a time where walking in love will be wrong. Let me say it again. There is never a time that to a saint, walking in love can be considered as wrong. Never. Never. Never a time that walking in love can be considered as wrong. Never a time can good conduct be considered as wrong from scriptures. Never. Not once. Are we together? Let me show you. So, even the people that killed Jesus, he was dying for their sins. Do you get that? And even though you see someone who killed someone that you love. Yes, sir. Except you don't want to do the word. That's hard to swallow. That's why we're teaching believers' conduct. You know, I always tell people, sometimes you feel you are disciplined. Or sometimes you feel like you are not disciplined. Or sometimes you feel you are disciplined until you see challenge that pass you. You are driving. You just bought a new car. You tinted your car everywhere. Black, black, black. Somebody just hit you from behind. You jump down. You are roaring. Who are you? What is wrong? You must pay this car. Maybe you are even closing as they are talking. You don't put your AC Mopole uniform. Or you see soldier. No, but sir, you know, it's your break part, sir. You know, the first sentence says you give people gab when you are present. So in the recent sense, you have self-control. Is it true now? Let me give you an example. You know, I always give an example. Bra, Moses, please come. Bra, Shegun, please come. If two of them offend me on two different days, and I walk up, so he maybe steps on me or he brushes my car, yeah? And I walk up and I say, and I forgive him. You know that in the real sense can be true forgiveness, because in the real sense, I might be able to beat him. But in the real sense, imagine one day, the same car, I hit him. The second time, I hit him. When I hit him, I started slapping him. But when I hit him, I came down, I was talking like a gentleman. In the real self, in the real sense, I don't have self-control. What brought out the self-control in me is fear. Please go and sit down. Think about it now. When you were small, when you misbehave, your mother would do what? Your mother would look at you with three eyes when you go for a party. You dare not touch the meat. Yeah? The best you can do is you mistakenly pick it and throw it to your pocket and go to the toilet. Right? But now that you are big, when you go out for a party with your mom, when your mom do like, what do you do? When you were small, when your mom do like this for you, your mom too will be forming like a boss. Why? Because even if you eat it, she can beat you. Yeah? But when you are now old, you bend your head for her. So she now say, don't worry, I forgive you. She's not forgiving, she's scared. She sees her son that is most everything is beating like this before they, because you know there's a way you can slap by reflex and somebody will faint. So in the real self, from the day when I was small, that you were beating me anyhow, you had self-control. It took my workouts to bring out the self-control in you. It took my body physique. Are we together? So when he says follow peace with all men, it is all men. Not only those that do good to you. For every man that does evil to you, what the word says you should do to that person is good. Let me give you an example. So if I wake up tomorrow and somebody comes down and says, I was the one that killed your father. Yeah? What the word teaches me. So it's just, there's sometimes that if you can obey God's word, life will be very easy. But sometimes we look at God's word, we read it, but we want to hear what we want to hear. So imagine, and I go and meet a pastor and I say, Pastor, this is the man that killed my father. He now says, go to Matthew chapter 5. And he reads Matthew chapter 5. Do good to all men. Be like your heavenly father who is perfect. He says, Pastor. Say, ah. Just like my brother here. He says, ah. What, why are you putting that pastor inside trouble? You came and met him. You said, what should I do? And he told you, do the word. All together. This one is heavy, man. Hallelujah. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Look at what the Bible says about Jesus. It says, who knew no sin was made sin. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. 24. 1 Peter 2, 24. Sorry. Look at verse 23. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 21. Look at this. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So Christ suffered, and in his suffering there's an example we follow. Who did no sin? Neither was guile found in his mouth. So it means that you cannot look at Jesus and point at the things that he did that is bad. You cannot point at Jesus and look and say that is what he did. Look at verse 23. Who, when he was revived, he revived not again. So it means that when they did evil to him, he did not revenge. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously. Verse 24. Who his own self bore our sins. Your poverty? Your poverty? Your what? What did he bear on his body? Sins, right? Yeah? So who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree? Yeah, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you are healed. What is by whose stripes you are healed? Yeah, is it cancer? Malaria? No, we've taught that, right? Yeah, so when it says, by his stripes I am healed, Isaiah wasn't prophesying about your malaria. Yeah, can you, by the power of the Holy Ghost, heal any sickness? Yes, but was Isaiah speaking about sicknesses? No. Look at the explanation in the next verse, verse 25. For ye were sheep going astray. Are we together? But are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. This is equal to what? By his stripes you are healed. What is the sickness that you were in? A sheep gone astray. What is the healing? We have returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. What did Jesus do? He was revived, but revived not again. He did not sin, yet was pointed to the tree, to the cross. Let me now ask you a question. The people that killed Jesus, yeah, people that flogged Jesus. You know when Jesus resurrected, if they had believed in his work, you know they would be saved. Do you know that? They'll be saved. So, no matter the evil, you are to follow peace with all. Jesus left an example, a template for us. So, we follow that template accurately or appropriately. Look at everybody and say, do the word. Do the word. Let's end in Galatians 5 quickly. Galatians 5:13. This series, I'm not necessarily going to say, take alcohol. Don't take alcohol. Smoke. Because I remember when I was smaller, I started understanding some things. I started saying things about, you know, the only reason why I should not smoke is because of your health. It damages your lungs and all those kind of things. But I'm like, people who smoke in the UK live up until 90. People who smoke in the US live up until 80, 90, 100. And you say you're a chain smoker. You see? So your doctrine you must teach must be consistent all across. So we must teach the reason why not to do certain things and not just out of emotions, fear, and things like that. Let me give you an example. You know, when we, look at it. You know that when we taught the truth of God's word about tithing, let me give you an example. 2-3 years ago when we taught about tithing, for instance, Giving reduced in God's palace. Giving reduced in God's palace. I remember very well. Why? Because pastor has taught you that what? There is no more devourer. What do? Keep the money inside more. Why? I've removed fear from you. The reason we're doing this series is that you should lead the life of good conduct, not out of fear. Why? Because you are eternally sure of your place when you sleep, when a man dies. So I must not threaten you. That thing you are doing. We'll see on the last day. No, I'm threatening you. But there's a reason why we'll do certain things. I was somewhere yesterday. I was at a meeting yesterday. You know, and the man that was anchoring the stuff said, "You see, Nigerians like to be threatened, and it's the truth. Go to a place now and tell them that if you don't give your tithe, you will not make heaven. Money will increase. Go to a place now and tell you if you don't pay your tithe, your life will be tight. Money will increase. But go to a place now and tell the same Christians, they don't say like your life will die. What happened? They keep it more." Yeah. Why? Because what was taught about giving from the beginning was a fearful way of giving, not a way of giving from a generous heart. Are we together? Are we together? Same thing with conduct. Paul says that if I come and teach anything that puts fear in you, that troubles you, it is another gospel. Someone said, only people that pay their tithe for me are people that have houses in Nigeria. We're done. Go to an average church today. Today is Sunday. Go to an average church now and go and ask them. Yeah? 5,000 people. Ask how many of them have their properties at their house. If they have up to 200, that's a millionaire church. I don't mean rent. People who are paying rent too, are they not Muslims? That's something to think about. Yeah? So, the same way you don't give for God to give you. Same way you don't give. So a lot of Christians give to escape poverty. You can never give your way to escape poverty. The givers never lack. It's not true. You know now. Think about me and you. If you don't think about you, think about me. Givers do lack. So you don't give so God will give you. No. God doesn't give people things because they give. God is a generous father who gives to mankind because he's a generous father. So we respond to giving, yeah, because we understand the slant or understand what God expects from our hearts. The same thing with conduct. Look at Galatians 5 verse 13. Let's read this together as we end the service. 1, 2, 3, go. Remember, in verse 1, what did he say? Stand firm. Go to verse 1. Let's read verse 1 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 13. So we render service to the saints, having love as the fulcrum of the decisions we make. The Bible, you will not see anywhere in the New Testament books where it says a leader should not... There's no place in the New Testament books that says that gives a measurement of the kind of trouser a man should wear. None. I mean, do you know anyone? None in the entire New Testament books that you see a measurement of the kind of clothes a lady should wear. None. Oh, well, maybe 1 Timothy where it says, adorn yourself in beauty and was teaching something else. We'll look at that maybe next week. But it says what? So it means that as a saint, you have been called unto liberty. Yeah? Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. So let love be the fulcrum and foundation of the decisions you make. Simple. I want to wear this clothes. I want to buy this clothes. I want to buy this clothes. What should come to your mind? Not that you have a good body. Did you hear that? Everybody's quiet on me now. Yeah? Not that because you have a good shape. It's because you look good on me. That's similar. No. What should be your foundational reason for buying what you are buying? Only use not this liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So love is the foundation for your decisions. Look at verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Yet give love to everyone. Let love be the foundation in your relationship with people. So, a simple question is this. How am I by love going to serve other people? So, any question you have in your mind, we'll pay attention to it in next week and next 2 weeks. Any question you have in your mind, Pastor, is it wrong for me to? Pastor, is it wrong for me to? Yeah, so you will not come and meet me and tell me, Pastor, is it wrong for me to wear a bikini to the beach? And you expect me to answer you? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? Eh? It's not hard. I just tell you, follow the word. Do the word. What is do the word? For all the law is fulfilled in one. In this, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Say, look at sin. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye may not consume or not consume one of another. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Yeah. So Paul, first of all, remember from verse 1, chapter 1, he told them who gave himself for your sins. What did he say in chapter 5? Stand firm in your liberty. So we are to serve one another, yeah, by the liberty we have, not to imprison others. That's why Paul gave an example in 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians 10 quickly. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. Let's just look at that. On Wednesday, we'll pay attention to that scripture that talks about food offered to idols. Yeah? Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go! What is Paul saying? I can choose to say I have liberty. Let me see. A lot of times when we teach conduct, a lot of times people that put all those fear, you know, they always, you know, you should not wear trousers because you are tempting men, all those kind of things, and blah, 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 and all those kind of things. You know, now the new generation people, you know, what did they say? Every man should control themselves. Yeah? That is not scriptural. Are we together? The scripture gives self-control as a criteria for every creation. Did you get that? Yeah, so when you say men should control themselves, no, it is not about men alone. But scripture teaches that all, long suffering, perseverance, self-control, is for all. Are we together? So the new generation right now, what do you call them? Soroki people. It's not in the world though. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says what? Preach the truth in season and out of season. For a time will come when they will know what? No more endure sound doctrine. For they shall heed to themselves having itching ears. Are we together? So love must, Paul says all things are lawful, but not everything experience. What is he saying? Not everything is necessary. I mean, you can do without certain things. Do you understand? So you come and meet your pastor. Pastor, my secondary school mates, say we want to go and meet at Jabi Lake Mall, just the riverside. And they say we should come in this day. Pastor, what should I wear? I should now tell you, you know, wear red mixed with purple down. And wear. I'm not going to tell you that. I'll point your attention to this. All things are lawful. So all clothes are lawful to buy. Not all clothes are expedient to be bought. Did you get that? Did you get that? Did you get that? Puffing, what do you call it? The gospel. Let's leave it there as superlative. You can justify why they do it in countries that are cold. The only thing I've not just settled in my head is why they do it in Nigeria where the sun is 40 degrees. And it doesn't add up. But if you go to another country, the reason why they will tell you they do it is because a lot of them are addicts, definitely. But a lot of them do it because of to keep themselves warm. Yeah, so but Pastor, you know, Pastor, I'm not trying to say that when I go to the UK, I can be. Did you hear that from my mom? But I will give this message to everybody after this teaching. Did I say it? What will I tell you? So if you say, Pastor, please advise me, how do I keep myself warm? What do I say? Buy jackets. What do I say? Buy a bottle that I can keep water warm for 3 hours. Be drinking hot water. You won't put me inside trouble. Because the moment I say, thou shalt not, you should not, I'm teaching extra biblical things.
Are we together?
Are we learning something this morning?
Yeah. So Paul says, all things are lawful, but not all things are experienced. All things are lawful to me, but not all things edify. So it means that edification should be the goal of our actions. Please write that down in your notes. Let's end this. Let's end there. Edification of others should be the end goal of all our actions. All. Edification should be the end goal of all our actions. So the thing that's come to your mind is, how does this edify? How does this not edify? Am I walking in love towards others? Yeah, if you come and meet me and say, Pastor, my colleague said we should meet at Blue Cabana. Yeah, we should meet at Blue Cabana on Friday. Pastor, I don't know if I want to go there with the word. Pastor, advise me, what should I do? Should I go out and tell them I'm not feeling fine? So what should I tell you, she say? What should I tell you? So let me ask you a question. If we're coming to church, if you plan to come to God's Palace on Sunday, and on Friday night, you were passing, we say to you, saw me walking to River Corner with a towel on my neck. What will come to your mind? You know it's not easy for you not to judge me. But the same way I would expect to do things because I know you will judge me, is the same way you should see yourself as a minister who others will judge. Hallelujah. Let edification of others be the end goal of your decision. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost for a few seconds. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost for a few seconds.